Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about... I'm back on air after a few days, or basically a week in Melbourne, and I've been broadcasting from Sydney. So when I'm off in Melbourne visiting people, I didn't have a chance or didn't want to podcast, but I'm back again and slowly labouring through things. So this is just a, sort of a taster of some of the podcasts which I'll work on. Now, the idea is that I'm continuously thinking, organising, ready to podcast as part of the brain development therapy. At the moment, I'm also driving, so trying to combine things together with it. So while in Melbourne, there were probably several things to podcast about. I read a book called The Moon, and this is by Oliver Morton, and I'll do a podcast on the moon and some of the very interesting aspects of it. You know, and this is what, for me, the interesting aspect is that there's these books with the intense amount of detailed around-the-corner knowledge which you normally don't pick up unless someone rigorously lectures and goes through it, and you do a course on it, you pick it up, and you realise that the knowledge is there, it's in a book, and people have safely put it in the library and they don't read it. And that's pretty much the same, similar for me. It's the knowledge is there, what I know is true, but... it's safely, like in a the social equivalent of a library, where you just don't listen to it. It's not there. Now, that's okay. It's just it means that a certain group of people go through a scholastic process. This is where you read books in detail and try and extract the information from them. And unfortunately, in life, this isn't happening. The scholastic tradition, people's tolerance of listening to people is very much reduced. And people sort of listen to people if they can actually undergo a transition. It's got social value. You know, it makes light dinner party conversation, or they can make a buck out of it, or they can extract information, have a buck out of it, or can add value. The idea is that... I think the information people get, they automatically affect how is it valuable to me, how is it relevant to me. And people often mistake this criteria they place on information of how is it valuable to me to actually devalue information. That's what I'm honestly trying to think. Like I've had a few people look over my shoulder, ask about maths and stuff like that. And they said, well, look, here you've got... I'm just minding my own business. Here, they're quite agitated and say, look, you've got a minute, 2 minutes to show me how this advanced maths is valuable to me. And I said, probably isn't. Therefore, it's got no value. And... yeah, I wish I could actually stick my finger on it there. So this is what you get from reading these books. So the people put all this effort in, and it's sort of lost. So in one aspect, this sort of extreme intellectual exercise has gone through, and it's produced a book. And one thing we've done is we've buried it in a library. It's sort of become lost and stuff like that. And that brings me on to the other thing that I'm going to podcast about, and that's the Entombed Warriors up in Melbourne off St Kilda Road. This is sort of a main road from Melbourne down to St Kilda Beach. That used to be the closest beach. It used to be Docklands and sort of Melbourne at an angle. You'd have to travel out to St Kilda Beach. That was Melbourne's beach, but now it's sort of there's a lot more waterborne, as there's a sort of the port of Melbourne. So Melbourne's a southern city in Australia, in the second most populous state, Victoria, and this is sort of south, basically south of the Great Dividing range or south of the Murray is this state called Victoria, and it's got Melbourne up and Melbourne in it. And in there is the Entombed Warriors, and I will go through and podcast about that. And the interesting thing is that, like, if you've got no friends, or no one who's, not to say that you've got no friends, there's no one who's got the intellectual depth to actually pull out stories. I'm getting very much the impression that people see the travel brochure, the poster of going to a place. This is just a picture, someone enjoying the food and some money, and you know, you pay so much money to go on a trip, and you go on the trip and you enjoy it, but you, in terms of the actual immersion and your intellectual deep discussion of your immersive feeling being there, you just don't describe it. So I just wish I could describe that in a little way. So often when I analyze what people say, they say, oh, this was good, I enjoyed the tour, I liked the it was really good, I enjoyed the speaking of it, and this was bad, which is basically the poster version of experience. So what's happened is, I think we've got sort of the travel agency, we've become so immersed in the commercial world, where the commercial language of going to an exhibition, and there's a process of the ticket buying, and all that aspect of it becomes the major feature, and this is sort of like the icing, or the plate, you know, food which is served, but there's the restaurants with the ambience, and people say, oh, did you enjoy the restaurant, and they'll be talking about the food, the service, and all the atmosphere, when it's essentially you're buying so much nutritional food. But getting back to it here, here's was a deep method of organizing which eventually led to a whole series of entombments. Now, which is interesting in terms of the entombing process, and the detombing process is interesting in that not only were the full-size warriors entombed, there was a miniaturized, you know, army, almost like a TV army, and then there was entombed pleasure village, and entombed actual workers, and this whole thing of burying and building and burying, and you know, afterlife, and then there was threads of the afterlife. It's the search for afterlife led to the discovery of gunpowder, led to the demise of this poor emperor. This emperor was trying to immortalize himself, and eventually poisoned himself with the elixirs of everlasting life, finally knocked him off and killed him. So you've got all those aspects of it, and then finally the people trying to destroy forever the memory actually entombed it. They burnt down and it crushed, and it meant that it was all crushed and destroyed and put into a form which was ignored, and so the attempt to wipe it out actually codified it. And it's sort of like, you know, I'm going to put all the records on USB, and then I'm going to just have a quick look at here. I'm going to put everything on tape and then burn it in such a way that it actually, by burning it and destroying it, they actually preserved it. It's sort of this irony, and this act of entombing and pulling out is interesting. So although the effort of people inquiring is fraught with people trying to disregard it, ignore it, so you've got this social view at the time of trying to crush it. You know, the entombed warriors, they burnt it and it made sure it could never come up. And it is a flawed, completely flawed system, this person, this emperor had. That is that if he made these terracotta warriors, they would be there for him, or symbolically it would be there for him. They would animate and come to life. At some points people must have really, really believed it. And it's interesting that people really, it's strange that people really believe their TV sets, even though the TV set is just imaging and flickering stuff. So these people believe their terracotta stuff. We believe our TV sets and enough to I suppose vote people out, get enraged, and we have real activity. If we looked at it from if another culture, ancient culture, looked at us, they'd say, "You're looking at these TV screens, and how does this happen?" But I do find that there is a sort of a theme that has come through. So this is the book on the entombed information about the moon, and the moon has become a historic site. It has the footprint of Neil Armstrong has become revered, that you can't go back there and disturb it. You disturb history, and the fact that the moon is there's no weathering on the moon. If a meteorite hits the moon, that's pretty much the end of the story, and then until another meteorite overwrites it. And so there's sort of a fairly simple, and the surface of rocks slowly melt away as they're hit by little miniature, thousands of miniature nanometer meteorites hit the surface of it and sort of soften the shape of the moon. So you've got sort of this preservation of in history for it's essentially lost and of low value until you have these activities which are until the Apollo mission goes to the moon to collect rocks, and that's in the scale of things and the scale of industry and all we do, it's a very a very small thing with big significance. So hopefully on the same level, me going to the library and getting out a book on the moon is of high significance, the entombed warriors, then the scope of the economy of China, this is incredibly small. Okay, don't cause anything. I'm obviously driving up to the gym. One of the things, sort of, there's the cognitive thing of assembling the information the entire time. There is a third thing I'll be able to talk about, this, and this is the Einstein to Haas pendulum. I was able to show it. So for people who don't know, quantum mechanics is invisible to everybody. It's in their computers, it's everywhere, everything they touch, it's themselves, but conceptually it's invisible to them. It's sort of like, I don't know, sort of like the circulation system was sort of in the late Renaissance, British people, well, various people, tweaked what the circulation system is. This is the blood circulation system. So they didn't know about arteries and veins and how the heart pumped blood and how it circulated and the entire process. It seems very fundamental. But all sophisticated knowledge, the most advanced knowledge of the time, doesn't include this. And so at the time, we have we have our society, where the average person equates quantum mechanics with some sort of weird religion. And the answer down to Hass Pynchon is actually a little beating heart, a little quantum mechanical beating heart. And in a sense, it's one of this very, well, it's not esoteric, but it's sort of very left of field, hard to access piece of knowledge. And yeah, it's basically a ceramic cylinder which begins to oscillate due to quantum mechanics. And so in terms of the three aspects, it's the third plank, and it sort of goes in there, and sort of the understanding of not just the sheer knowledge, it's the how the knowledge is encapsulated and entombed, and or displayed, and really it's the final chapter of knowledge when there's a big award and everybody knows it, knowledge. And it is interesting that in that education and education aspires, or the Australian education aspires to a base basket of everybody knows knowledge, with no boutique knowledge or no motivational knowledge or no stuff like that, so that they are acquiring their music knowledge by listening to popular radio. That is, that the knowledge must be popular knowledge. And this, there's nothing wrong with it, but it does create this space, this shadow space, where there's this shadow knowledge about the moon, about the entombed warriors, about the Einstein to Hass. And I had this really nice, enjoyable, relieving, relaxing time where I was able to, with an old professor friend of mine, go through, and I said, you know, think, here it is, we had a cup of coffee, and here it is, my knowledge of this is not complete. I'm not presenting myself as the whole thing, and then draw the waveform on the board and get the various bits of knowledge out about it. And it's sort of this intense, this sort of shadows of knowledge, in terms of that he had the knowledge of the spin up, spin down for MRI machines, which in a certain sense doesn't apply. It has some physics and the Boltzmann equations and some laws of physics which you go in. It's almost so the way physics is taught, it's like a shopping center. And there's the main galleries where people walk from one point to the other and buy things at known brand name stores. Oh my God, the petrol has gone up to $1.64.7. Good God, what is the world coming to? Okay, I'm about to go here. Now, I'm in the slow, hard thing of getting back to physical training, cognitive training. I'm sort of going up to the gym now for an hour or more than an hour or so to record it. And this is my journey here. Is I went back last night and I've lost my dictaphone. I just went down to the office work, bought another dictaphone. Not worth worrying about losing stuff. I can tell you, with a certain amount of brain damage, you lose stuff, but you lose stuff in such a way that it breaks the spirit. Your spirit is lost. It's lost. I can't go again. And huge shipment of bits and bobs from China, so I have to build the next section. I have to build the next Einstein to Hass pendulum. So all I did was I looked for a while, taken in my dictaphone from last night. I only began using it last night, it's lost. Oh well, I am who I am. I'm in a situation of just really struggling in the sort of calmness. I went in after a week of practicing. I did my typing tests, and you know, a huge number of typing tests, or time about six typing tests, dropped down to 32, and I was at 34, 35 words per minute, and just dropped down, and that's just the sort of the weight. It's sort of like a weight or a setting on a gym machine, but it's with typing practice. And so similarly, you just say, well, and it says on the internet you can easily get to 50 words per minute with a bit of practice, and you go, okay, well that's where it's at. And the memory stuff, okay, I've lost the dictaphone, simply buy another one, set it up, get on your horse, get going. And as I say that, I'm driving up to the fitness center, and I'll get in there, so I'll part company with you. And so that's what's coming up. Now I'm back on air again, and I will do several ones. One on the moon, it'll be a really interesting one. And of course, you are saying, oh, I'm going to have to say that, I'm going to have to remember to say it. So it's really good mentally for to assemble something for it. I'm going to have to say something on the Entombed Warriors, and I will, of course, talk about the Einstein to Haas. Thanks a lot for listening. I'll get on and punch through. Thanks a lot. Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.